Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us. Sun shines down on gorgeous Victoria. This one apparently has been under the radar with all of the election machinations. Apparently, the current government in BC is forming a new wildlife agency and plan to fund it with revenue from hunting licenses. The Raincoast Conservation Foundation is crying foul. And here to explain what's going on, my guest in studio, Brian Falconer, Guide Outfitter Coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation. Very nice to see you, my friend.
Nice to be here, Pamela.
You've been sailing on foreign shores and stuff, so it's nice to have you to have you back in these parts. And, of course, an urgent email from you concerning what you deem to be the most destructive policy imaginable for BC wildlife. What's going on?
Well, essentially, this happened in March, just prior to the writ being dropped, and it was an announcement by Minister Thompson, Flynn Roe Minister, and he was accompanied by members of the two major hunting lobby groups and the BC Trappers Association, announcing that they would like to form a, quote, independent agency to manage wildlife in the province of British Columbia. Now, there was a lot of stuff going on around the election, and so there wasn't a lot of reaction. There wasn't a lot of uptake on it. And through the election, there was each of the parties took a position on the grizzly hunt, and finally, after 2.5 decades of work, there's actually some movement on the grizzly hunt. But it was accompanied by this idea that they're going to get politics out of wildlife management in British Columbia. Well, it's not possible to take the politics out of wildlife management. They just simply wanted to get out of the heat from controversial policies like the wolf call and the grizzly bear hunt. And so forming an independent agency that would be led by all of the consumptive user groups in the province, they said that there would be hunters and trappers. And then they said it would be modeled on the Freshwater Fisheries Society, which is, if you look at their website, it's pretty interesting.
So you're saying here that hunters would be a group of hunters and trappers, essentially would be in charge of wildlife management in this province?
I think that they would make some efforts to broaden that a little bit, but there's no doubt, there's no question. I mean, they were the ones flanking the minister at the press conference, and there's no doubt that it'll be preloaded with the hunting groups, and in the same way that if you look at the Freshwater Fisheries Society website, it's all about where to fish, how to fish, when to fish, when we stock these places so you can fish those places, how to get a license to fish, how to learn to fish. Insert the word hunting in all of that. And if that's the model, then, and you look at the requirement for managing the broad spectrum of wildlife and managing ecosystems in this province. What they're talking about is big game management, not wildlife management. And so it however they attempt to make it look like it would represent a broader view, there's no question that it will still entrench things like the trophy hunt. And despite the fact that 90% of the population of British Columbia don't support that.
So this would be a new wildlife agency. Whose control would it be under? Totally independent from the government? Or, I mean, there's got to be some connection to some extent.
Well, there is a connection. The government would do the legislation, but the decisions apparently would be made in the in this nonprofit. It would be a nonprofit society that would be set up to do this. So, the hundreds of emails that I've got in the time period since this has been announced, people said the common sentiment is that you're putting the fox in charge of the hen house, and that's our view of it.
What will this mean for wildlife in British Columbia, by your estimation, if, as you say, hunters and trappers are going to be in charge of a new wildlife agency formed by the Liberal government?
Well, one of the things that has always been the case in British Columbia is that the wildlife ministry has been populated by people hand-selected by the hunting community and by those lobby groups. So the wildlife ministry has always been massively pro-hunting and massively pro-management for hunting. There has always been a need for a broader view of habitat protection, of research. The one thing that they talk about, the Liberals, you know, sort of read the writing on the wall and agreed that all of the monies from hunting licenses and fishing licenses across the province should go to this agency, and so they would have some money to do research and stuff. That even wouldn't be anywhere near enough to give the capacity to manage, to understand some of the needs of wildlife and to do the research, and then even to cover the management costs of it.
What is the government's reasoning, by your estimation, to want to set up this wildlife agency?
Well, it's my opinion that they don't like the heat in the kitchen, and they'd like to put somebody else in the kitchen.
What kind of heat are we talking about?
Well, heat from policies like the wolf cull, which is designed primarily to provide ungulates for hunters, and the trophy hunting of bears, particularly. They've had a lot of heat over the years, rightly so.
So they're doing it arm's length.
So
these
yeah,
are the
so
people you deal with. They just happen to be hunters and trappers in charge now.
That's right.
Which essentially you're saying is already the case at the Wildlife Ministry.
That's right. But it's an attempt to make it look a little bit more arm's length so that it doesn't reflect so much on them, I guess, as a party.
CFAX listeners, join our conversation. What do you think about what you're hearing about a new wildlife agency? A plan to fund it with revenue from hunting licenses. Brian Falconer's in studio, 250-386-1161. Star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. It's also up on Facebook. Brian, it sounds like an end game is being run here, if I'm hearing you correctly, in terms of the timing of this and the formation of this. Is there something nefarious, by your estimation, in terms of the way that this is being presented to the general public to appear that it's actually pro-wildlife?
Oh, absolutely.
I guess it would be pro-wildlife, but they just want to potentially trap and shoot it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there is some motivation in the hunting community. There are really strong conservationists within the hunting community. Many of them actually support us, our organization. But hunting is not conservation. There are hunters who are conservationists, and then there are those who are not. I think that there is a strong sentiment for habitat protection within the hunting community. There's a strong sentiment that a lot of the development has really hurt wildlife. But there is this overarching conflict of interest that we want this to grow so that we can kill it.
Wow, let's bring some listeners in. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling CFAX 1070.
Yeah, hi. I'm just listening to the conversation here, and to me, it just strikes me as a little odd they would be putting it under the control of the like interested hunter groups, especially those that are advocating an expansion of the trophy hunt. Like, I'm personally opposed to the trophy hunt, like your commentator said, with respect to, you know, the rest of the province. It just doesn't seem right.
Brian Falconer, react to Brian's sentiments.
Right. I think that there will be some attempts to say that this is not just for those groups. I think they will try and bring in a broader group of people, but there's no question that when you look at the proponents of it, who's proposing it and who's in support of it, Bill Bennett has been traipsing around in the interior lauding this, and I think, you know, my own personal opinion is he'd like to be in charge of it. So it will be dominated without question by those consumptive user groups.
Consumptive user groups, put that in layman's terms.
People who want to kill things.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for calling CFAX 1070.
Hi. I'm sorry, I just feel sick at what I'm hearing. Is there anything that can be done, since there's possibly, probably, hopefully, going to be a change of government?
Really good question. There's a lot of things up in the air in British Columbia right now. Both of the parties have committed to the movement of monies from the hunting community into research. The NDP has said that they will add money to that. Both parties have been talking about doing that within the ministry, and I think I think it would be very hard, considering the positions that both parties took during the election. I think it would be very hard for them to allow this initiative to go ahead.
So
my hope is that
it's not etched in stone.
It's not etched in stone. It was a Liberal policy, but it has begun. There was money given to a group to do a stakeholder task force, to create a stakeholder task force to try and you know, develop a frame of reference for this society.
Wheels are in motion. Let's bring Mike in. He's an advocate for hunters. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling CFAX 1070.
Hi, thank you. Can we start calling hunting what it truly is? It's the harvesting of animals for food. Even most bear hunters, specifically black bear hunters, but even grizzly bear hunters, harvest the animal and take the edible portions of it out and consume it. So, unless your guest is a vegetarian, where does he think meat comes from? Is it any different that he eats a cow as opposed to eating a moose or a deer or a black bear?
Thanks, Mike. Go ahead, Brian Falconer.
Yeah, that's a common argument. Grizzly bear is not eaten. Hundreds of hunters, guide outfitters that we have dealt with and bought out their territories, have told us I first want to really clarify is that myself and our organization are not against hunting and hunting for food. Grizzly bears have never been hunted for food. The same organizations that are now claiming that they're eaten were the organizations that lobbied to not have to pack those edible portions out. And now everybody's born again grizzly eaters as they're being saying, yeah, make us pack this stuff out. Make us, we promise we'll pretend to eat it. But nobody eats it. There are very small exceptions. And this is in conversations with hundreds of hunters and even a lot of bear hunters. So, you know, we do support hunting for food. We do support the hunting of ungulates, and we do support the hunting community that is conservationist. Trophy hunting is not hunting for food, and that's really a very, very straightforward. And I don't want to disparage hunters. There are a lot of hunters who support our organization and who do support conservation. It's a question of there is a fringe within those groups, within those lobby groups that support the trophy hunt. And those people are really angling to be in charge of wildlife management in British Columbia. And whether they eat or don't eat, when you are the major consumptive the major consumptive user group of a wildlife or a you can call it a resource if you want, putting that group, which has a very, very vested interest in the use of that, in charge of it, is not impartial and it's not independent.
Well, and it's not balanced.
We'll
get into who's on the list here with Forest Lands and Natural Resource Operations Minister Steve Thompson. We're with Brian Falconer, Guide Outfitter Coordinator for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. I'm Pamela McCall, and we'll take some more calls after this.
It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for listening. The most destructive policy imaginable for BC wildlife. That's how Brian Falconer, Guide Outfitter Coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation, is framing the current government's policy in BC that is forming a new wildlife agency and planning to fund it with revenue from hunting licenses. Brian is sitting here to my right. We're taking listener calls. How do you feel about this? 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. We're also on Facebook. To the phones and Greg. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling CFAX.
Hi, Pamela. Thanks very much. Hi, Brian. This is outrageous. And hopefully both the NDP and the Greens, which are on record as against grizzly bear hunting, will make it into government and get rid of this thing. But my question is, I'm an old guy, Brian, and when I was around the Ministry of Environment, my recollection was that all of the revenues that came from fish and hunting licenses and tags and so on went to the Habitat Conservation Trust Fund so that we could buy back some of that very precious habitat, which we're losing so quickly, which is basically the main reason why we're getting shortages in wildlife. Could you answer that? Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you.
I can't answer it completely accurately. The Habitat Conservation Trust Fund is does get funding from the hunting community and from hunting licenses. I don't believe it all it certainly doesn't all go directly to them. I believe it all goes into general revenue, and then some of it comes back out to a percentage of it comes to the Habitat Conservation Trust. I could be corrected on that,
okay.
But that's my understanding.
I'm reading off of the release here, the government release. Currently, hunting license revenues support a number of government activities. Hunting license surcharges totaling more than $2.6 million annually would still be dedicated to the Habitat Conservation Trust Foundation for its conservation projects.
Yeah, that's the surcharges, and I believe that might be the royalties as opposed to the direct license revenues. And I'm not positive on the breakdown of that.
Okay.
What the NDP has said is that isn't sufficient and that they need more money in order to conduct the research, in order to look at habitat protection. And much of the work that Habitat Conservation Trust, they have done some good work. A lot of it is focused, again, on game. A lot of it, the research and a lot of the projects is to recover game populations. It's not a holistic approach to the entire spectrum of wildlife in British Columbia, and it's certainly not, doesn't address a lot of habitat purchases.
More in this release, wildlife populations are managed on the principle of conservation first. Currently, the ministry spends over $18 million per year on wildlife management activities. This is in their rationale for the standalone agency that is already being looked into. Is that the case?
I'm not sure where that figure came from. I know that they're chronically underfunded, and there are good people in the ministry trying to do good work. Their research budgets are extremely limited, and they face conflicting decisions with other ministries in industrial development, particularly in habitat conservation.
Okay, let's talk about who was standing alongside Forest Lands and Natural Resource Operations Minister Steve Thompson, the president of the BC Wildlife Federation. What is the BC Wildlife Federation by your estimation?
Well, BC Wildlife Federation purports to be a conservation organization, and they have done some work in conservation, there's no question. But they are the lobby group, the advocacy group for hunters in the province of British Columbia. If you have a hunting license in BC, you're a member of the BC Wildlife Federation.
Scott Ellis, Executive Director of Guide Outfitters Association of BC.
Represents the commercial hunting guides in British Columbia.
Eric Mickelson, Vice President of the Wildlife Stewardship Council.
Represents the guide outfitters, particularly on the north end of Vancouver Island.
Brian Dack, President of the BC Trappers Association.
Speaks for itself.
Okay, so this is the group that would be running this agency?
Well, they're the group that supported it with Minister Thompson at the press conference, and as I said, they'll probably try and bring in other individuals and other groups to try and they've certainly talked about bringing in First Nations, but no First Nations that we have any contact with have even been consulted about this or even had it mentioned.
Let's bring Bob in. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling CFAX 1070.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Bob, and I worked for Highways for 10 years. And in my opinion, they are the best branch in the government to work for, because all the biologists and all the people that work there were fantastic. And they worked their butts off to try and do the best for everybody and protect the wildlife.
Okay.
And I don't care what anybody says. The biologists, certainly they were biologists, and they worked hard. And during hunting season, they looked out for the wildlife and really looked out for it. And some of them bent over backwards to help the hunters.
Okay.
There's no question. Within the ministry, the wildlife ministry in British Columbia, there are some fine people and working really hard. The problem is the overarching philosophy and the guiding principles of it are really geared to hunting and hunters. Whatever happens with the government and with new governments, I think that there's a fantastic opportunity to bring a broader view of wildlife and wildlife management into the ministry. It will need to be funded, there's no question. It'll need to be funded at a higher level than it is right now.
Wasn't there a situation that Andrew Weaver, a Green Party leader, actually advocated dragging the meat from grizzly bears out of the forest in order to say that it's not
I don't know what the motivation was, but declare it not trophy hunting, but actual just regular hunting, because the innards were being hauled out?
Well, not the innards, but the edible portions, supposedly edible portions. And we criticized that heavily, and you know, we disagreed.
Do I have that right then, or if you could just clarify for us?
Yeah, it was part of the, we call it the pack the meat out policy, is that, you know, as long as you pack some of the edible portions out of a grizzly bear, it's not a trophy hunt. And, you know, the idea was to end the trophy hunt by essentially renaming it as the way we characterized it.
Why would Andrew Weaver of the Greens back that?
I guess, you know, I can't, we've asked Andrew that, and I think that I think he's, I guess seeking the support of the hunting community, and, you know,
sort of the rural urban divide.
The rural urban divide. I think that, you know, all of the parties, and I think that's what this potential government, a collaborative government, they have an opportunity here that hasn't been available in British Columbia for decades, is an opportunity to sort of escape this powerful influence of these user groups.
Why are they so powerful?
I think it's the fear of the urban-rural divide. Mm-hmm. And I think all parties they're afraid of being punished.
What would you like to see done with this shift toward a standalone agency in charge of wildlife in this province?
I think it needs to be scrapped completely. There's no possibility that it's going to have any accountability once it's set up. At least within the government, you can make a change to the government, and there is accountability. This doesn't take the politics out of wildlife management. It takes the accountability out of it.
Hi, Anne. Last word from you. Quick thought, my friend.
Okay, trichinosis. How prevalent is it in both black and grizzly bears?
Trichinosis.
Heavily present in grizzly bears, to a lesser extent in black bears. I have a friend who is a microbiologist who sent me a list of the pathogens that are in grizzly bear meat, and it's pretty frightening.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there for today. Nice having you back around. We'll delve into this some more for sure. We'll watch and see what happens. Obviously, lots of things in play here as we await a new government. Thanks, Brian.
Lots of moving parts. Thank you, Pamela.